God's word is our inheritance. You know, when we study God's word, God has so many things in store for us, and He has prepared riches of His grace. The Bible calls about the riches of His glory, riches of His grace that He has prepared for us in His word. And we need to seek out God's word. Like in the book of Proverbs, it says, if you seek her as silver, amen, dig out the gold of God's word, you'll find the knowledge of the Lord. Amen. Find the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. And when you get wisdom, not knowledge, you know, people of the world can receive knowledge. They can get experience. They can read books and acquire the expertise they need for a certain field. But knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom cometh from the Lord. For the Lord giveth wisdom, the Bible says. Out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So every time we go into God's word, you know, we are searching out God's wisdom. And His word is so alive that, and because His spirit is involved, it's not just the word itself, but the Holy Spirit is involved. He brings out from the written word, the now word for us. Hallelujah. How cool is that? Amen. The word that we need, perhaps for this week, perhaps for the next day, even for this very day, He can speak to us from the written word and make the written word the living word. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm reminded of the story of Caleb and Caleb, that man who said, I'm as strong this day at 85 years old as I was when Moses sent me when I was 40 years old. My strength is still the same as the day. 45 years ago until now, his strength has not diminished. It's undecayed, amen, unfailing strength. If anything is increasing in strength, he asked for the mountain of Hebron to be his possession at the age of 85. Well, this same man has a daughter called Aksa. And let's read about it. It says, Caleb said, he who attacks Kiriath Sefer. Very interesting. Every a name in the Bible has a meaning, and it has a meaning for us today. You know, I just want to pause here and just show you this from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, now all these things, now this is a New Testament verse, right? But it says this, now all these things happened to them, referring to the Old Testament people, as types. As what? As types. The word there in the Greek is tupos, types. And have been written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So even all those things in the Old Testament, they are written for our admonition. So in other words, it is not just when God tells Joshua to sort of set out the boundaries of the territories that he has given to the children of Israel, and this tribe will inherit this portion, and the other tribe will inherit that portion. Every name on every city, every mountain, every stream, every valley, every name has a meaning for us today. And perhaps it is an area that we have neglected that has caused us to suffer in that area. And perhaps it's something that God wants to bring us to our attention because there's yet very much land to be possessed. That's the word today. There's yet very much land to be possessed, and God wants to give you the secrets, amen, of possessing your possessions. Praise the name of Jesus. So in Caleb's story, it says, Caleb said he will attack Kiriath Sefer. Now, even Kiriath Sefer has a meaning. This city means literally, Kiriath is city, Sefer is book, city of the book. And whoever attacks the city of the book. Now look at this. The Bible, the word of God, is the book. Amen. It is the written word. But watch this. He who conquers Kiriath Sefer and takes it, to him I will give Aksa, my daughter, as wife. So Othniel, the son of Kenaz, the brother of Caleb, took it, and he gave him Aksa, his daughter, as wife. Othniel, his name means lion of God. Aksa, her name means anklet. And whenever it talks about the ankle of the foot, it speaks of possessing the land. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread shall be yours. So we see here that names have meanings. Othniel means lion of God. Just as I see a picture here of the Lord Jesus taking the scroll, the book, he conquered. Amen. He conquered the city of the book and he received. And who is worthy? Amen. Who is worthy to loose the seals thereof? And he's the only one who took the book. And the Bible, only there, the Bible describes him as the lion of the tribe of Judah. And Othniel means the lion of God. And he conquered the city of the book, Kiriath Sefer. And the Bible says that Caleb named the city later on Debir. So Kiriath Sefer became Debir. Debir means, you know, Dabar means God's word. Literally, he who conquers the city of the book, the written word, he who really masters this book, amen, will have the living word of God. Only then can you speak, amen, as the oracles of God. Literally, the city of the book became the oracles of God. Debir means the oracles of God, the spoken word, amen. But there's no spoken word unless we spend time in the written word. Praise the Lord. Now, it was so when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Now, obviously, she has married Othniel. And in this context here, so she dismounted from her donkey and Caleb said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Give me a blessing. Since you have given me land in the south, give me also springs of water." So the father Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. And finally, we just read, she has the southland. The father gave her the inheritance of the southland. Now, the southland of Israel is quite arid and dry, even though there are a lot of great things in the Bible that happened that historically is rich, amen? But she possessed the southland, but she needed what? Because it's a land that's exposed to the sun that brings forth precious fruits, brings forth great things, amen? And the Bible says that, although that, you know, it's a southland, it's a great possession, she needed springs of water. And so she asked the father, "Give me also springs of water. Would to God that we would produce children, both in their faith, strong, amen, to ask God." Just like Othniel, he was bold in warfare. His wife, Aksa, Caleb's daughter, was bold in petition. She asked her father. She never felt like, you know, my father really gave me a south land. It'd be too much for me to ask him for extra land for where springs of water are flowing. I think I'll be imposing. It's like I'm asking too much. She never felt that way. And child of God, if you have the spirit of sonship, amen, you honor God when you ask big. Don't ask small. When you ask small, you don't honor God. Faith pleases God, and God is pleased with faith. And she asked her father, "We can ask our heavenly father." You know what the father gave? The father exceeded her request and gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. Springs that come out of the mountains and springs that come out of the valleys. Amen. Gave her this inheritance. And these are pictures of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes, you know, after I share with people the word of God and all that, and I felt like, you know, today I didn't feel the anointing. I didn't feel like the flow was there. I will go back and I'll tell God, "God, give me springs of water. Give me springs of water from now on. When I stand up, I want springs of water, not just the knowledge of the word, but springs of water to preach by." And that's the Holy Spirit. So the upper springs refer to the Spirit upon. The Spirit upon comes upon you for a certain task. Just like Samson, you see in the Bible, Gideon, the Holy Spirit will come on them at certain times for a certain exploit. And then it's a successful exploit. By the way, the word there is saleak. The Holy Spirit saleaks on them. And the same word is used for prosper in the Bible. Whatever he does shall saleak, shall prosper. It's the same word, the Holy Spirit comes on you. And it's usually when the Holy Spirit comes on you, it's for preaching, it's for sharing the word. You know, you can share with your colleague, the Spirit of God will come on you and you can share and you'll find words and that you never realize that you have those words in you, and you will start using illustrations that you never even thought of then and there, because you know what? You are no more operating in your own natural strength. Right now, the Holy Spirit is anointing you and giving you the words. You don't take, premeditate to say certain things, but it comes up because of your Father will give you the words to speak in the same hour, and none will be able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which you speak, because right now springs of water are flowing out of you. So child of God, we have all these things. These things are our possession, and don't be complacent, amen? Don't be just satisfied with the southland. Ask for the springs of water, hallelujah. If you're feeling dry, the sun is taking its effect, ask for springs of water, amen? So the father gave her the upper springs, the spirit anointing upon, the spirit upon, which is for assignment, for a certain task. And then the lower springs. Lower springs is what is in us, and that abides permanently. The Spirit upon comes and goes. The moment you finish your task, it lifts. Amen? And I know what it's like. Amen? When it lifts, you are just a mere man again. But the Spirit within leads you every single day. It is the anointing within. That one remains forever. But that is not enough for ministry. When there's ministry, you need to ask God for the anointing upon. Amen? By which you will perform with His strength, with His wisdom, by His grace. Amen. And you become, in a sense, at that moment, supernatural. Praise the Lord. Do you remember the valley of Achor? There's a place called Achor, and the Bible says that's where Achan was stoned. And in the valley of Achor, it says here in Hosea, God says, I will give her, Israel, her vineyards from there, and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. Now, look at this. If you just look at it in the natural, in the valley of Achor, it's just a valley called Achor. But there God promised a door of hope. I need to know where I can find this door of hope. Hallelujah. Praise God. God has opened a door of positive expectation of good in my life. But it's found in the valley of Achor. But when we look in the Hebrew, Achor means trouble. Achor means trouble. So in your trouble, look for the door of hope. And the Bible continues to say that you will sing there as in the days of your youth. There's going to be a renewal of your youth, that you will find a youthful vibrancy to sing, just like you did when you were young. Amen. God says, in that door of hope, you will find your springtime again. Hallelujah. So where is the door found? In the valley of trouble. In the valley of trouble. Usually valleys are always a picture of trials. And in the valley of trouble, are you going through a valley of trouble right now? There is a door of hope. The Bible says God will not allow you to be tested above. I know that many Bibles say temptation, but the word that can be test as well in the Greek. There is no temptation or testing that has overtaken you, but such as is common to men. But God is faithful. Why? God will not suffer you to be tested above that you are able, but will, with the testing, notice, with, not without, with the testing, in the valley of trouble, with the testing, God will what? Give you a way of escape. God will make a way of escape. With the testing, God will make a way of escape. So that's your door of hope. Praise the Lord. So you find that in the meaning of the place, Achor. In the Old Testament, a lot is hidden in the names. You know, the Old Testament is the shadow. The New Testament is the substance. Or you can say the Old Testament is a type. The New Testament is the antitype, the substance. Praise the Lord. Just like Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus himself interpreted that as, in John chapter 3 to Nicodemus, as himself. So that bronze serpent is the type. Jesus raised on the cross is the antitype. Amen? So you can say that in the Old Testament, you have the New Testament. In the Old, the New is concealed. In the New, the Old is revealed. Praise the Lord. In fact, I find that many of the details of the doctrines in the New Covenant, in the New Testament, I find the details of the, something the Bible just tells you generally what it is, but doesn't go into details. You know why? God has given us the Old Testament for that. Amen. So we search the Old Testament, just like the way Jesus used the Old Testament on the road of Emmaus. He expounded in them, not the do's and don'ts, not the laws, but the things concerning himself, especially hidden in the types. Do you see that all the books in the world cannot compare with all the wisdom that you find in the Word of God? Do you see the Bible as something that it's a privilege for us to go in and study? It's a privilege for us to read. In all the affairs of life, when it comes to your own life, it comes to your marriage, it comes to parenting, it comes to your business affairs, it comes to everything, that your relationship with people, amen? And especially your walk with God, it is all found in this book, praise the Lord. It is your inheritance. It's not just a good book. It is a very, very good book. Why? All books in the world is man-inspired. You won't find God in it, in the world. But this book is God throughout. Amen. And that is the missing element to what the world is looking for today. They are missing out because they don't see God. Hi, I hope you were blessed and encouraged by this video. If you were impacted by this message, let us know by liking it and leaving a comment below. Lastly, feel free to subscribe to get more inspirational content every week. See you again real soon. God bless you.